Welcome to the Between Two Humidors podcast, episode 9, my conversation with the founders of Apostate Cigars. I'd also like to acknowledge Apostate Cigars as our sponsor for the month of August, as well as the Cigar Chapel in Bend, Oregon. We have a very special offer for Between Two Humidors listeners. You can find it in my conversation in episode 9. This is a really nice conversation with Brandon and Kendrick with Apostate, and I think you'll find it quite interesting. Give it a listen, give it a share, and please tune in for the special offer for Between Two Humidors listeners with Apostate and the Cigar Chapel. And now for the conversation. Okay, I think we're on. I've got my Apostate Deseret cigar going. I got my latte going. Kendrick, good to see you. Brandon, you guys are in, where are you? Where are you guys?
I am in Minnetonka, Minnesota right now.
Minnetonka?
Minnetonka, just outside of Minneapolis. Yep.
Oh, nice. So is it like a tiny buffalo? Does it mean tiny buffalo?
It means many tiny buffalo, yes.
Minnetonka?
All right. And Kendrick, you're not in many tiny buffalo areas.
I'm not in tiny buffalo. I am in Salt Lake City. In fact, the greatest Salt Lake City in all of North America.
So that's true. That's actually true.
Awesome. Well, still good to see you guys. I know it's been a summer, and I'm so happy that we're finally here. What are you guys smoking? Obviously, you're smoking Apostate. Brandon, what do you got?
I'm rocking a Sword of Laban this morning. I don't normally do this one for the first smoke of the day, so I wanted to try it out. It's going well.
Yeah, that's a good first smoke, honestly.
I can't remember the last time I did that. Yeah, it's good. I'm liking it.
Yeah, if you got the time for a Churchill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I am smoking one of our new blends, the Moroni's Trumpet.
Oh,
and this is going to be shipping to retailers in a month or so.
Excellent. Well, speaking of retailers, you know, I'm coming from the Cigar Chapel here in Bend, Oregon, and I know we just collaborated on a little sponsorship. We'll just tease that out, and we'll announce that here later in the show. But we got a little special promotion for Between Two Humidors listeners, so I think that's going to be pretty awesome. Well, guys, like I said, we've got a lot of folks looking forward to this interview. I met you guys, or Brandon, actually, I met you at PCA there in Vegas. I think, Kendrick, you were around there as well. And it was really great to see you guys. And then we just had an event with you guys, what, about a month ago?
About 6 weeks ago, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it's been just a little bit.
How'd that event go for you?
Great.
We had a good come up there. Yeah. We had a good poker game afterwards too, from what I recall. That was
poker
fun.
Poker was good. Yeah, those guys run a tight table up there at the chapel.
Absolutely. Yep. Every other Thursday.
Oh, hold on.
Uh oh. What shop or shops are you visiting there in Minnetonka, Brandon?
Oh, man, I've been to so many already. Let's see. I've been to Ramsey Smoke Shop, which is really cool. Shout out to Omar up there.
Okay.
I've been down to Smolder. I've been over to Cigar Jones. Where else have I been? You know, you're asking me on, like, day 4 of a 5-day road trip, so my memory's not clear. Right? I've got 3 more shops on the slate today, too. So it's going well, though. It's good. We got a lot of receptive folks out here.
Excellent. They're all rocking Apostate. Love it.
I'm trying to. Yeah, man.
Well, you got a good lineup. Well, here's where we got to start. I've been to your website, but I want to know the long version of the Apostate brand and your guys' story. From what I've been able to tell in my own research and using old ChatGPT as my research assistant, both of you used to be in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a.k.a. The Mormon religion. I think that has a massive thread and theme to your
cigar brand, I'd love to just stop talking and have one of you start. Start from the earliest you can, and we're going for nitty-gritty details here, so spare none.
Oh, my God. Nitty-gritty.
All right.
Who's starting?
I think Kendrick's starting. Do
you want me to start, bro?
Take it away, bud.
Well, the tale of apostate cigars really starts in 2016. I was, you know, just running my store here in Salt Lake called Beehive Cigars.
Okay.
As a retailer. And, I met Brandon for the first time when he reached out wanting to get into the cigar business. He wanted to work at the shop and, you know, just be in the industry. And I had a small limited number of hours available, but I was like, yeah, come on board. He seemed like he would be a good fit. So
you took a risk.
Anyway, I hired him as a retail tobacconist, and within a year he was managing the store. And so our professional relationship went like that for a while, where he was running the day-to-day of the shop, and then right around the end of 2020 or 2019, I guess it was 2020. I don't remember what year. Was it 2020? It must have been 2020.
It had to be 2020.
Yeah. The pandemic was going on, and we were like, what do we do with our lives? What? What does this all mean? You know?
There's got to be more to life than retail. Yeah.
And we had already had some, you know, Beehive has a really good line of house blend cigars that we've had for years, and we had always talked about doing like a premium, like house blend, like actually going down to the factory and seeing if we can blend something and offering like a super premium house blend. And so that was kind of always in the back of the mind. And then 2020 hit, and we're like, well, maybe now is a time to kind of think about actually doing that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And as we got more into talking about what that would look like, we kind of were like, you know what, we should just, if we're going to do it like this, if we're going to do this the way that we want it to be done, then it's too good just to be a house blend. We've got to, let's make a brand out of it.
Yeah. If we're going to make that much effort for a house blend, you might as well continue to make that effort. Yeah.
Why not let other shops sell the shit too?
You know? Yeah.
I love it.
And so then it was like, what do we call it? And a good friend of ours who was also working at the shop at the time, who knows us both really well, she kind of looked at us and went, you're not going to call it apostate?
And I was just right out of the gate. Just right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate. Like, we didn't even spitball other names. We didn't even get that far. We were just kind of sitting there looking at each other like, shit, what do we call it? And she's like, you morons, you're not going to call it apostate? Like,
yeah, it was like, you're not going to? Like, as if it was so obvious.
Like, hello?
And so what's the definition of apostate?
Brandon?
Apostate is a term that refers to someone who has actively chosen to basically walk away from a certain set of held beliefs, whether it's religious or otherwise. Apostate is basically someone who's no longer following the code.
A reject, a rebel, an outcast.
Mm-hmm. If you watch The Mandalorian season 3, episode 1, it's called The Apostate. That's when the other Mandalorians are like shunning him because he hasn't been behaving properly. It's
he took his helmet off.
And that's a no no. And for us, smoking that cigars. Yeah, smoking cigars would be the no no, or drinking alcohol would be the no no. You know, sex outside of marriage, or not wearing your magic underwear after you've been through the temple. That's all a no no. So those are all things that we decided. We're good enough for us to walk away, man. Yeah.
And so she said that, and what's her name?
Mm-hmm. Lindsay.
Lindsay. So Lindsay says, you guys, it's right there. You got to call it a prostate. Did you both have an epiphany, like, right then and there? Like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. 100%. We both, like, slapped our knee and sat back. Like, why the fuck would we not call it that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a common... It's the common like story between Brandon and I. You know, we, you know, we're both very different people in many, many different ways, but we each have like a pretty strong common threads.
And you got a little background noise going on from.
Is that from me?
I don't know, Brandon, you might have a little background road noise.
It's probably me, dude. I'm sitting about 500 yards from a highway. It's been pretty quiet, but there's some trucks now and then.
Oh, when you're not talking, it, like, accentuates it.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, guys. I'm the worst. I don't know.
You're
behaving like an apostate. It's fine.
I'm going to move around the backside of this little grove and see if that blocks some sound.
All right, that sounds good.
But yeah, anyway, we have these common threads, you know. We both grew up in Utah. We both served LDS missions. I went to Scotland for 2 years when I was 19, and Brandon went to the Dominican Republic.
Well, those are two very different countries.
turned out to be fortuitous and helpful for us down the road later. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to that point.
A little foreshadow. I love it.
Yeah, so we're like, yeah, well, we're a couple of Mormon apostates who smoke cigars, and so yeah, we'll call it Apostate Cigars. And so once that decision was made, it became a task of, like, you know, creating the whole thing. What do we want this to look like? What do we want the branding to look like? How do we want to, what do we want the product to be like? What do we want, you know, the whole, all of it. And we started piecing it together. One of the big questions right out of the gate was, okay, who do we want to make this stuff for us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
who's going to actually manufacture and roll it?
Yeah. Like, who's going to make this for us? Because, you know, we don't have a cigar factory. But we know lots of people that do. And right at the very top of our list was Hochi Blanco at Tabacalera Palmer. He was our first and only call. We had, you know, met Hochi through, you know, just the cigar industry channels. I've been carrying his brand here in the store, you know, for years before that.
What's his brand? La Galera
is the brand. His brand. But he makes cigars for other people too. But
sure,
La Galera is his brand. But so we met Hochi, I think it was 2017,
yeah, that was our first meeting with him, yeah.
It was like La Galera was just a brand new brand, but Tabacalera Palma's been around for, you know, 80 years at that point.
Right.
And been making great cigars in Dominican for decades. So anyway, we knew... how Ho Chi treats his tobacco. We knew his philosophy behind that. He's got just a no bullshit kind of philosophy that we fall in alignment with.
Yeah.
It's about the tobacco. It's about the experience. It's about the people.
Yeah.
It's not about you as a brand owner. It's not about status. It's not about any of that. It's about the experience that you're bringing to your customer and that connection.
Yep.
And to, you know, have that experience be the best that it can, you know, then, I mean, just having that orientation in your mind makes everything else in your operation fall in line with that philosophy. So the tobacco is cared for, the plants are cared for, the people in the factory are cared for.
And where is this factory, by the way?
It's in the Dominican Republic, Santiago.
Tamboré.
Outside of Santiago. Okay.
Just outside.
It's a little suburb of Santiago, yeah.
Yeah. And so he was our first call, only call. We called him and told him what we wanted to do, asked him if we could come down to the factory. And he's like, oh, yeah, come on down. So we booked a trip down there. Went to the factory. We told them what we wanted to do with our brand. We told them that we wanted to get our hands dirty and do some blending. And he took us under his wing. And we started blending the very next day.
Yeah.
And that first initial trip to the DR netted us our first three blends.
Okay.
The Initiatory, the Deseret, and the Liahona.
Yep. So I've got the Initiatory right here, smoking the Deseret. Okay. How'd you come up with those names?
Yeah, well, I'll stop talking now and let Brandon take over on that one.
Okay, perfect.
What was the question?
Well, you've got these different brands, and I know on your website you do a pretty good job kind of describing them. But, you know, so let's just recap super quick, because you got your name right out of the gate. Lindsay's like, well, hello, has to be apostate. You make one phone call for your roller, your blender, your manufacturer. That goes well. So now how'd you come up with the different blends and the different bands?
I'd love to say that the marketing of the blends was a joint venture, and certainly there were moments where I had some valid input. But Kendrick, when it comes to creativity, is the more creative of the two of us. So that was, we were spitballing in the office one day, and he gives me an idea for the logo. And it kind of reminded me of, like, you've seen the coexist stickers on the back of a bumper, right, where it's got all the symbols that spell out coexist. When he was describing it, that's what I was picturing, and I thought that was really cool. So he's like, well, no, we'll pick an image or something that references, some facet of Mormon mythology for each cigar. We'll have 8 cigars in the core blend. So each symbol represents one of the cigars, and we'll name it according to, you know, how that correlates to that symbol or how it correlates to the idea that we want to convey for that blend. So it was, at once that structure was in place, it was super easy. We just went through and picked symbols that spelled out apostate when you put them together. So when you look at the band, you see each shape, and it spells it out. So the Initiatory, that first one with the red band, you've got the little handshake symbol on there with the A on it. That little handshake symbol comes right off the Salt Lake City Temple. It's carved into the granite. So it's also the name of the first ceremony that you go through when you're a Mormon entering the temple to do your, you know, religious rites and practices and stuff. So it's each cigar kind of correlates somehow that way. The Deseret that you're smoking, that was the territory of Deseret when Brigham Young and the pioneers settled Utah. It's also a Book of Mormon term that means honeybee. That's why it's got the little accent stripes on it. The Liahona, that's a compass from the Book of Mormon that only functioned if you were faithful. So it would guide you to the promised land as long as you had faith. So it's long and thin and pointy like the needle of a compass, you know, so we did that kind of across the board. And it's a theme that could go in perpetuity. I mean, if we had 100 cigars, we would never run out of names. So it's a good approach for us marketing-wise. We've got a deep well to draw from.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, I do like the Apostate logo and how you've used kind of Kendrick was describing it, you automatically thought of that coexist bumper sticker. That totally makes sense. And once you look at
that's what showed up in my head. I was like, okay, yeah. I see what we're going for here. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, so that's interesting, and I would encourage everybody to go to your website so you can get the story on all the different brands. So now I'm curious, given your kind of rejection of that particular religion and that particular kind of life ethos, you must have had friends back in the day. Have you gotten any kind of criticism or any kind of, you don't have to name names, but have you gotten any kind of like, what the fuck are you guys doing, and why are you doing that?
I mean, I've had a family member or two who is more likely to shun me at the reunions now than before. But I was always the black sheep in my family, so I don't think this was surprising for anybody.
Me too. I can totally relate, by the way.
Yeah, as far as like former friends, there hasn't been a ton of fallout on a real deeply personal level. Most of my friends are still my friends and always will be. And they accept pretty openly what we're doing and know that we're not trying to belittle them or mock them or make fun of them. It is a little tongue in cheek, but at the same time, we're trying to bridge the gap between what used to be our community with the church and what is our community now with cigars. So it's really to me, it's a positive thing more than a negative thing. So there really hasn't been a ton of fallout. My family's been great. My friends have been great. The comment section on a couple of news articles locally has been full of a little bit of vitriol, but that's to be expected, you know.
Sure. Kendrick, how about you?
Most of my friends that were my good friends are still my good friends. I think Brandon and I were both, I mean, I think I can speak for Brandon on this too. We were both fortunate enough to not have to bear the full weight that some do when.
Yeah, we were lucky. Yeah.
Like I've never worried about my parents rejecting me or my family.
So they're still in the faith.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of my good friends still are. We don't have any issues.
Well, that's really good to hear.
We're very, very fortunate to have some really great people in my life, regardless of what the faith is.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit fraught for some people, especially in the Utah Mormon community. When you leave the church, that's your entire network, that's your entire support system, your whole community, and I've heard a lot of stories where they're just straight up you don't exist anymore, you're out, good luck, you know.
Yeah,
when you come back to church, you can come back to Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
yeah Well, I won't go into it, but I've been out of the church that I went to for a very long time, and it was kind of interesting. I've had this. I won't go into too much detail on this podcast, but let's just say that I've had very interesting thought process and some deep dives on the difference between religion, faith, and a cult. And when you do something that's against the religion, it seems to turn into a cult. And whereas the place that I went to in town, again, I won't name names. It's not the point here. But didn't even get a phone call from the pastor.
Right.
Not even a phone call, which so bizarre. So yeah. Bizarre when you claim to, you know, have a certain perspective and faith in the teachings of Jesus or whatever, that promotes forgiveness, and then not even a phone call. That's probably a cocktail story. That's not a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we could spend 2 hours on a different show talking about the hypocrisy of religion all day, but it's that's part of the collective journey for all of us, and I think it helps solidify the idea of what we're trying to do. We're not out here bad mouthing anybody. We're out here building our own community based on the bones of our old community. You know, so
I love it. That's a great way to say it. Well, I have to say, you know, I was smoking Apostate before I even met you guys, knew you guys. You know, the cigars themselves, great flavor, you know, all the things. I mean, it's just a really good portfolio. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so I can honestly say that I knew this before I even met you guys. And it just so it's very ironic that Apostate is sold at the Cigar Chapel in Bend.
This is my favorite. I love it. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. Well, tell me about business. How's business going? Brandon, you're in Minnesota, you're in Minneapolis, like you're spreading the word just to keep that theme going. How's that distribution going?
It's good, man. We're focused on growth, right? And if you talk about what does growth look like, for us, we're pretty particular. We're not out here to be in every single shop. We want to be working with the right retailers, like-minded retailers, people who have the same focus that we do. And that focus is building a community and doing so through a brand that wants to build that up, right? So why should you carry Apostate? Well, the number one thing being it's a fantastic product. If you like cigars, you're gonna like Apostate and you're gonna wanna smoke it. But number two is we come from retail, right? So we come from Beehive Cigars and that background, and we've seen the community that builds up around it. If you nurture that community, it can turn into a really beautiful thing, and those are the folks that we want to work with. So when I'm out on the road, I'll see a dozen shops, but we're talking about five or six of them that fit the bill, right? And we'd love to do business with those guys, and hopefully that's mutual. So right now, as far as how it's going well. We're growing. Growth is still happening. We're bringing on new accounts. Accounts who we've been doing business with since 2021 are still ordering. There's not a lot of fall off or attrition per se. So,
okay.
You know, I think it depends on the market. It depends on how things are going for people in certain geographic regions for, you know, economy and what say you. But, man, it's going good, man. It's going good.
Okay, I got a question for both of you guys. You can lie or you can tell the truth. Well, you decide. All right, so
the truth is more fun.
It is more fun. Absolutely. Truth is stranger than fiction. But so you told the story. You launched with those three bands. I'd like to know from each of you, in your own business world with Apostate, what's your biggest success and your biggest failure? And then what did you learn from that failure? I'm super curious.
I don't know if you can call them failures, to be honest with you.
Well, I get that. But maybe the biggest thing you're like, aha, oh, my God. Like, right. That was interesting.
I think my philosophy I try to stick to is you either win or you learn, right? I don't really feel like I fail. There are obviously things that you want to do better, and you can only learn what those things are by not doing them well, right? So for me, personally, and Kendrick can probably, you know, contribute some things I suck at too, if he wants, that's fine. But for me personally, sometimes when I'm feeling a little, let's say self-conscious or I'm not feeling effective, I tend to kind of shut down and I'm not as productive in a week as I should be. I'm not making as many phone calls as I should be. I'm not maintaining relationships the way I should be. And those kind of drift off for a week. And then I have to recover, right? So for me, it's my own personal bullshit is my constant growing opportunity.
Damn, that's just life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, you gotta overcome imposter syndrome or overcome a little bit of laziness and stuff like that. That's always been my opportunity. But as far as like what we're doing well, I think for me, there's something about being at an event or being in a shop when there's something going on I'm really good at being able to turn it on and participate and make people feel welcome and ensure that they're having a good experience. That's something that I am good at. And that actually helps me bounce back from those funks, right? So get me in a shop when I'm having a bad week and we'll be fine.
Okay.
So,
so you went from just a retailer, Kendrick, right? Beehive Cigars. And now you're going into a branded premium cigar line. Give me something you've learned through that process.
So,
so much laughter. There's got to be
something there. It's a lot. Out of the gate. So we get. So going back to our branding story, you know, we'd come up with the logo, and we were super proud of it. We just had our first batch of cigar bands and labels printed. They were going on the cigars. They were on the cigars.
And then I got a phone call.
And then the phone call came. Well, we won't name any specifics, but basically one of the symbols, the first A in apostate in our logo, you see the A with the, you see that?
Yeah. Yep. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
That wasn't our original A. We got a phone call from the owner of a really prominent cigar company, and he said, "Hey guys, I hate doing this, but look at that and look at this logo that I just had trademarked." And we're like, "Oh, yeah,
we can see a problem here." Yeah.
We see the similarity. So yeah. The lesson was to check that shit before you have a whole bunch of shit printed out.
triple check, quadruple check. So, yeah, dude.
The lesson is, you know, we had to throw away 100,000 cigar bands that were made with the logo that we would have been ill advised to continue using.
So. Yeah. And I know we're not the first company to throw away 100,000 bands, but when you're just launching and you're bringing your own capital to start a business, that was a heavy hit for us. Yeah.
So, that was a hard lesson. Like sometimes, you know, you put your heart and your blood and your sweat and your tears into something, and at the end of the day, it still needs to be changed or altered. Yeah. And you just gotta point, you know, reorient yourself, hit it, and then okay, we'll just keep going that way. We were off course and we just need to correct the shit. And so it's, you know, the whole process has been, you know, a series of these
right
kind of micro adjustments that are always needing to be made, you know, every, so yeah. Lesson is to, you know, look ahead and don't get too attached to your own ideas because you might have to abandon them.
Yeah.
You know, and change your ideas.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a big one for me for sure. I mean, there have been many.
I'm going to transition to the car. I'm getting rained on pretty hard here. Hang on.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Well, I'd rather have rain than 100-degree sun that we're having here.
Oh, yeah. I'm not complaining. I'll take it. It's just not conducive to me smoking and standing outside right now. So.
All right. Let's give a shout out to the first retailer that took your line, other than Beehive. Who was the first retailer you were able to get an agreement with?
That was Smokey Joe's up in Fife, Washington.
And how'd you get to them? Relationship?
Yeah, we had a good relationship with Danny through hanging out together at PCA as retailers. We have a mutual broker up in that area who's really good at connecting people, and he connected us with her. And we just became friends, you know, went to a couple of dinners in Vegas and stuff like that. And then when it was time to launch the brand, you know, I made a phone call and she was like, there was no hesitation. She's like, of course I'm going to carry it. Absolutely. Say when. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And yeah. What's the shop again? Smokey Joe's?
Yeah, it's called Smokey Joe's. It's inside BJ's Bingo Casino up there in Fife, Washington. It's a really cool spot. Great lounge, cool restaurant.
So how long did it take you from going down to the DR, meeting your manufacturer, your blender, and I'm going to mess up his name, so I don't want to say it. What's his name again?
Hochi.
Hochi.
You can just call him Hochi.
Hochi. So from that time to actually getting into Smokey Joe's, how long did that take?
We went down to the DR and blended our first cigars. It was in March of 2021.
Yep.
And like we already said, we blended our first three on that trip. And so from the time we blended them to the time that they were manufactured and packaged, et cetera, and hit the shelves, we hit the shelves that December.
Yeah.
So it was about 8 months from the time we first blended till we hit the shelves. Which is pretty quick, really.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So since December of 21, you've been growing it, getting into more retail. Are you on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Where are you at on the East Coast?
We've got a few spots on the East Coast. Right now we're mostly, as far as East Coast goes, we've got an account in North Carolina. We've got a few in New Jersey, Delaware, New York. We're working on the New England area right now. I'm Pennsylvania. We've got a few. I'm going to be out there the end of August, doing a little tour, doing about six events in like 8 days out there. So it's going well on the East Coast.
Okay, nice. Kendrick, in my research, I'm seeing that you're a big music guy. So talk to me about your music.
That's actually been like the primary love of my life would be music. I've played the piano since I was a little kid.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I've been a professional working musician since I was in my 20s. When I was 25, I started working in a piano bar here in Salt Lake. A couple years after that, I co-founded another piano bar here in town. And I did that as my sole job for a number of years, but, 2009, I was like getting pretty antsy with my life because I was, you know, working nights. I was working Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You know, from like
were you
night
still in the church at that point?
When I first started, I kind of was, but not some after about a year of it, I was that was kind of aided my transition out, really.
I was, and that's where I was going with that. I was like, how's that working?
Yeah, it got harder and harder to get up Sunday mornings to go to church after being in the piano bar working till 1, 2 a.m., you know. But I had all this free time during the day. And so I was like, I should be doing something with my days instead of just, you know, sleeping in and being a ski bum and whatever. So
being a ski bum, I was a ski bum for about 3 years of my life.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was fun, but after a year or two of it, I was like, all right, I'm really wasting a good opportunity to do something with my time during the day here.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to just go get a day job. I had the luxury of being able to make my living, you know, in a few hours every night. So I had all this time and business was always, you know, another interest of mine. So I started brainstorming business ideas and eventually found this little tiny cigar shop that was for sale. and I was cigars had always kind of intrigued me. And
when was your first cigar? How old were you, and what was it?
My first cigar was in like 2007, 2006, 2007, maybe. And I was in Vegas with a buddy of mine. We were drunk, and we were like, we should smoke a cigar. And I'd never smoked anything in my life. Not a cigarette, not a joint, nothing.
Nothing, straight and narrow.
Just had never smoked a damn thing in my life. And cigars had always been the one that I was like, if I'm going to smoke something, I'm going to try a cigar. For some reason, that always appealed to me, you know, watching Jimmy Stewart movies when I was a kid. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But
Pinocchio.
Yeah, Pinocchio. That's what it was. I watched Pinocchio as a child, then playing pool on Pleasure Island, turning to
Donkey. There you go.
There it is.
Cigars.
Do you remember what you had in Vegas?
I don't remember. It was at the so in 2007 in Vegas. I think I paid like $6 for it. So
probably a Macanudo, or
yeah. In today's market, that would probably be a $12, $13, $14 cigar. So it was probably like a Fuente 858 or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like a, you know, middle of the road for the time.
Sure. Really approachable.
I wish I could remember what it was. I don't remember much about the taste other than it was just fun to smoke it. We sat in the bar and smoked it, and I was trying to blow smoke rings and everything. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. So, and then I smoked a couple more after that. And then
was your buddy an aficionado, or was it his first cigar as well?
No, he had had a couple before me. And for him, I think it was more of just like something to do for fun. He was definitely not an aficionado. He was
okay, just
someone that liked to smoke a cigar every once in a while, kind of thing. So anyway, yeah, I found this business for sale, and I looked into it and did some soul searching, and I decided that I was going to buy this little cigar shop. And so I did, and immersed myself in the business and the industry and the products, and I rebranded the name, called it Beehive Cigars in 2010.
Where'd that come from?
Utah is known as the Beehive State, just like Texas is the Lone Star State, for example. And I wanted to be the place in Utah for people to go for cigars. And so I thought, well, I need to have like a Utah name. So I just adopted the Beehive symbol for the name, Beehive Cigars.
So Lindsay didn't give you the name.
No, I didn't know Lindsay. I didn't know Lindsay at the time. And actually, what's funny about it is at the time I was like debating. I was like, do I call it Beehive Cigars? Or I almost called it Deseret Cigars.
Oh, man, there you go.
I was this close to calling it Deseret Cigars instead of Beehive Cigars. But then I was like, I don't want to get in trouble from the church because, you know, the church has some businesses with the word Deseret in them. And as you know from smoking apostate, the word Deseret it means beehive. It's like a symbol of the state. It's like the state symbol, right?
Yeah.
So I opted not to call it Deseret, but kept the name in the bank for later.
There you go.
All right. Called it Beehive Cigars. And then when apostate launched, Deseret reemerged into my mind as a name, and we ended up calling our second cigar the Deseret. So
what filled your days then was operating your cigar shop.
Yep. I would run the shop Monday through Friday. I had a guy that was working for me on the weekends. So I was there every day from 10 a.m. to, at the time, I was closing at 7 p.m. during the week. And then I'd close the store at 7. I'd go home, have dinner, I'd have a quick shower, and then I'd go to the piano bar and start work at the piano bar at 9 p.m. till 12 or 1 a.m. And that was my life.
Rinse and repeat, another day.
Yep. And then as the business grew, I know I was able to hire more employees, and so my life got a little bit less frantic as time went on. But yeah, in the beginning, that's what it was.
How long had you had the shop before you met Brandon?
7 years, about 7 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you had it some time before you met Brandon.
Yeah.
I was a customer there for a couple of years before, and I had only seen Kendrick in the shop once or twice. But I was buying my cigars there for about 2 years
before. Well, what year and what was your first cigar, Brandon?
Oh, my God. Well, my official first cigar, I was 9 years old.
I stole it out of my dad's closet.
My dad obviously was Mormon, but he had gone to a wedding or a baby shower or something where they were giving out cigars, and dude gave him like 3 cigars, and they didn't have bands on them, so I'm not sure about the quality, but he just had them sitting in his closet, and you know, you're a kid, you like to poke around mom and dad's closet, so I was like, you know, there's 3 cigars here. If I take one, there's no way he's going to know. So
I need to put a lock on my fucking bedroom door. Remind me to do that.
So I took the cigar and I went and hid out under the bushes in the front yard. And I smoked it how I thought I should smoke it. And I inhaled the damn thing and almost killed myself. So yeah, that was my first official cigar. I have no idea what it was, but the cigar that kind of made me raise my eyebrows a little bit and think that there was something to it and that I wanted to pursue, you know, the hobby of smoking cigars, was a camping trip with a buddy of mine. God, this was like 2009, 2010. Sure. Went on a camping trip and he busted out a box of Camacho Connecticut while we were sitting at the campfire. So we had some whiskey, smoked a Camacho, and just had a grand old time. So from there, I didn't really pursue anything after that. And then my wife, I'm notoriously hard to shop for birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that. Cause if I need something, I want something, I just get it. Right. So you can't get me stuff cause I already have it. So my wife, decided to get me a humidor and a 20 count cigar sampler and a cutter and a lighter for my birthday 1 year. And, that put me over the top. That was the thing that turned it into a passion for me, for sure. It was like 3 months later before I was sitting on the couch with her one night saying, you know, I would love to open a cigar lounge someday. So it didn't take long for me to feel the bite, for sure. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, just for the sake of keeping the thread going, I think I had my first cigar, I think it was around 2018. And it was a Macanudo from a buddy of mine. He was actually an aficionado, I guess you could say that. And he was like, yeah, for your first stick, this is probably a good one to try. He gave me full warning, do not inhale. So I didn't have that experience, which was nice. But that this seems like a really good segue to share with our listeners. And I'm going to do a little preview before the actual podcast airs and gets distributed. But I want to let everybody know, thanks to these two fine gentlemen, we're offering a Between Two Humidors podcast listener special. And I think what we're going to do, because I've worked in collaboration with the chapel here in Bend, Oregon. And for those folks that listen to the Between Two Humidors podcast, if you come into the chapel and say you're a Between Two Humidors apostate fan, we're doing a 20% discount on all your apostate sticks.
That's really good. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, shout out to John in the chapel.
That's awesome.
Very generous.
Yeah. We're going to just keep spreading the apostate love. And so call in or stop by, either way. But you got to mention Between Two Humidors podcast. You don't just get it. You got to mention it.
Very cool.
Yeah, perfect. So I wanted to ask you, because when you were here at the event, you guys were going up to Portland because there was some kind of Rose City event there. What was it called, and how did that go? Because this was the first event that Portland had that was kind of cigar-centric, yeah?
Yeah, it's called the Rose City Cigar and Soul Festival, put on by the Onyx Experience up there. Those ladies know how to put on a show, so it was pretty cool. It was 3 days, basically. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got a nice cigar-themed dinner on Friday night on a rooftop, and then you've got Saturday was basically, you know, a venue where we could sell cigars direct to the public. Everyone's smoking and having, you know, featured cocktails and live music and all that good stuff. And then Sunday they held a brunch that was basically like sticks and kicks. It was featuring, you know, your sneakers and pairing it with cigars at a brunch spot. So I think it was really cool. It went well, honestly, for being a function in its first year. It felt very well put together. They took their time. There weren't a lot of snafus. I didn't see anybody fumble anything. So looking forward to what they're able to do for year two, and would love to go back. It was really cool. It was worth the
trip. How's the attendance? How's the vibe? All of that.
The vibe was spectacular.
That was great. Everybody was friendly and just wanting to have a good time and just enjoy life. And that's what cigars are, is just an accessory to enjoy your life with, you know, like, what are you doing? Add a cigar and you got yourself a fucking day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. They had a lot of really talented live musicians on Saturday. Friday night, they had a DJ up there spinning your, you know, 90s R&B classics, right? So it's it was cool, man. The vibe was awesome. But yeah,
we had. Was it well attended?
Yes, very well attended. Yep.
Excellent. Well, and they're gonna do it next year, yeah.
That's the plan for now. Yeah, I can't imagine after that. After the success that they had this time, I can't imagine it not happening next year. It's got to be a thing again. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm going to pivot here a little bit. I want to talk about Beehive, specific to kind of your lounge atmosphere. And I'm going to kind of give this reference. So here at the chapel, you know, we're talking about the cigar lifestyle. You light up a nice stick and, you know, you're going to get into some really just great conversation. I mean, I can tell you the chapel here has been a sanctuary for me and so many guys and gals. There's quite a few women that come in the chapel, which is nice. But I got to tell you, with everything that's been going on this summer, politics-wise, culture-wise, we've had some invigorating, interesting conversation, let's say, here at the chapel. I'm curious, how's the Beehive lounge atmosphere? Are people wound up? Are they taking it with a grain of salt? What's the vibe and the conversation like at Beehive these days?
Oh man, everybody here is our friends, you know, and the Beehive is a sanctuary, where we can kind of shelter ourselves from all of the craziness going on. You know what I mean? We don't watch Fox News or CNN here. We listen to music and we talk about our lives and the things that matter.
Yeah.
We have barbecues, we go camping, we play poker, we just do all kinds of things. What's going on in the world doesn't really affect what's going on here, except for that here is a place where we can all just meet on a level neutral
space where we talk about human things that matter to us directly in our lives, you know?
Families and yeah.
Families.
I don't walk into Beehive and worry if I'm going to have to get into a political or religious debate. It's a safe space. It's a place to, like Kendrick said, you just sit down and enjoy your cigar and enjoy each other's company. There's no real heavy discourse. If it gets heavy, it's usually heavy in a personal vein where someone's being vulnerable with you, which is awesome.
Right.
You know, that's the real shit that we look for. And we've kind of, Kendrick has done a good job of creating a community that values that and embraces that. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're similar here at the chapel. There's no news channels of any kind. The only thing that's on the TV is sports. Right. Although we did watch the Tom Brady roast on Netflix, which was pretty funny. And
well, we watch shit like that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just give a plug to Joe Rogan because he's got his live Netflix special this Saturday at 7 o'clock Pacific. I think we're going to watch that Saturday night here, so that'll be fun.
There you go.
But I can tell you, the only news that's ever been put on here is one day. And that was the assassination attempt because all of us were, I mean, it was a full chapel looking at our phones. Everyone's getting texts and we're like, holy shit, what? And we put the news on and it was like, oh my God, what the fuck just happened?
I was camping when that happened.
He had no idea that it happened. I had no idea. I've been off the grid all weekend.
I came back Monday. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, you were spared. We were all glued to the TV. It was nuts. It was
the media event of the summer for sure.
Yeah, it was wild. Well, that's good to hear. And tell me about your regulars at Beehive. Do you have a lot of regulars that come in?
Oh yeah. We have guys that we see every day. We've got guys that come on like a semi-weekly basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis or a semi-monthly basis. I think Beehive has just one of the best core customer bases that I've ever seen. Just super, super great guys. And, you know, they just become friends, you know, you just see them every day. It's just like, it's great.
How have you guys done with, going into business together is almost like a marriage. How have you guys been able to kind of balance being friends, but the pressures of growth and sales and operations and how's that journey been? And have you had a blow up yet? Cause I want to hear a good blow up story. I mean, come on, man, shit happens. Who made a horrible decision and who called them out?
we've both made questionable decisions and I think we work really great together. Sure, things come up that need to be addressed, but I'm only speaking from my end of things, but I know that when I have something that's an issue for me, I bring it up. I talk about it. I don't let it simmer for too long. And when Brandon has a concern, he talks to me about it. Both of us, our orientation is that we both just care about the brand, you know, we view ourselves as like stewards of something bigger than us, bigger than our own individual selves. And so removing ourselves in that way from the equation, I think helps us stay focused on making decisions that are going to be best for brand, rather than, you know, what's satisfying any individual proclivity that one of us might have or something. Every once in a while, you know, a conversation will need to be had one way or the other. But that's just a part of the process of keeping things tight and working the way that they should. You know, if you notice that your clock is running a little bit slow, you know, maybe you need to make just a tiny little adjustment or,
Brandon, Kendrick gave such a vanilla diplomatic answer. Brandon, give us something juicy. I mean, come on.
Careful, Branny.
I know. Yeah. No, I know what you're looking for. The problem is you're going to be disappointed, man. It does function like a marriage for sure. We're partners. We both have a vested interest in this child that we've created together. Right. So we're nurturing this little baby brand and trying to get it to thrive on its own. Right. So it's we don't always necessarily see eye to eye on the best way to get that done. But like 95% of the time we do. Right. So yeah. As long as we are talking about that 5% and how we can align, we function great. Have we had some blow ups? I can think of a couple of blow ups that we've had, but those are, you know, sometimes you get caught up in your feelings more than your logical thinking brain, and yep. And the feelings override the logic and you have to fucking shout about it, and that's fine. It doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. We're really good at checking in with each other. We're really good at making sure that, like, dude, I love you. I got you. I know you got me. Let's just both figure this out, right? So I wish I had like a particular juicy story for you.
Yeah, damn it. I was really hoping.
I know,
for some,
man. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. there's been relatively little drama. So, you know, they say don't go into business with your friends, right? But I couldn't imagine anybody else I'd rather be partnered with in this venture. It's we know each other so well. We worked together for years before we tried to do this. We know each other's style. We know each other's strengths. It's just really conducive to being able to do business together. He does what he's good at. I do what I'm good at. And together that makes one really strong core, right? So I don't have any drama for you, bro.
Yeah, man. Come on. I wanted to break it here between two humidors. Come on. So what kind of competition do you have there in Salt Lake City when it comes to cigar lounges?
You know, I mean, if you're talking about businesses that sell the same products as Beehive, there are two or three other places here in the Salt Lake area to get a good cigar that has been humidified properly.
Do they have a lounge?
No.
Okay.
Lounges are tough in Utah, if not almost impossible. But
same in Oregon.
What's that?
Same in Oregon. It's tough.
Yeah. It's getting like that everywhere. But everybody's just doing what they can. I don't really see the other local cigar businesses in town necessarily as competitors. I view my competitor as something larger. If you're talking about external competitors versus, you know, I'm my own competitor too. I'm always working against myself, you know.
It's good.
That's really the benchmark that I've used is how can I be better than I was last year? What can I be doing better now than I was yesterday? And kind of, you know, using that as a benchmark for my growth process as a business, and viewing external competitors as like big giant outside forces. I'm talking about like online retailers.
Legislation.
Legislation. The smoking tobacco policies are, that's where I really have my eyes focused in terms of what I view as external difficulties that need to be, you know, managed and accounted for. I think that there's enough room in Salt Lake for the cigar shops that are here. And I don't want to see any of those other guys go anywhere because ultimately that would be bad for the cigar community. It would be bad for the business community. It would be bad for the cigar industry. And, you know, I think it should be spread out a little bit. Yeah. You know? Like,
hey, speaking of policy, Brandon, let me, I know you want to jump in, but let me ask this really quick. So you're in Minneapolis, correct? If I'm not wrong, I think I just read an article. Maybe it was in The Enthusiast or The Aficionado, latest edition. Didn't Minneapolis just sign a law that's like a time constraint that you can only smoke for 15 minutes?
Yep.
Yep. That is a massive WT fuck. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that all about? What is going on in Minneapolis, man?
So, from what I understand from the locals, Minneapolis is it's got a city council that's a little eccentric. So
again, diplomatic. You've got
people who've never enjoyed a cigar in their life who are regulating tobacco, right? Ugh. So what they're trying to do is protect the children. Right. You got to protect the children. Heaven forbid you have a sanctuary where a dude can go and sit down in a private space and enjoy a cigar to his heart's content for a half a day. No, we can't do that because then we're enticing the children to grow up to enjoy tobacco. So the lounge now exists in Minneapolis for you to go and taste your cigar for 15 minutes to decide if you're going to make a purchase.
Can I just say, as the host,
the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. As the host of Between Two Humidors that wants to broaden and enrich the cigar world, let alone the other topics I love, technology, etc. It's horseshit. Absolute horseshit.
My biggest pet peeve in this industry is all of the folks who have no idea what cigar culture looks like or understand what it means to enjoy a premium cigar. Have tasked themselves with regulating the industry somehow. It makes no sense to me. If you're out of your element, say so. If you're just trying to villainize tobacco because it's called tobacco, just say so. Quit coming up with all this bullshit about how you're trying to protect somebody. It's not about that, and we all know it. So it's maddening to me. And you see different loopy little legislative pushes everywhere you go. It doesn't matter if you're in Texas or Pennsylvania or Utah or Oregon, somebody's doing something stupid with tobacco.
Yeah. But marijuana. Oh my God.
Yeah. You can do absolutely. Or, you know, Oregon, you can have a crack pipe, but not a tobacco pipe walking down the street. Yeah. Right? It's crazy. Yeah, man.
All right.
It's nuts. I hate it.
We've already been going over an hour, so I got two final questions and then we'll wrap this up. And this is for each of you. I'm curious, and whoever wants to go first. First question is, who is your business role model? Who do you look up to? Who do you like listening to or reading about? Who's your business role model or just life role model? I'm curious.
Good question. Mine is Kendrick, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
I'm not joking.
Come on, man.
I'm not kidding. I've watched this dude since 2016. I have never seen somebody navigate business so logically and let's not say effortlessly, but with the right intentions, right? When it comes to a crossroads and you can make a choice about your business, how many people make the right choice every time? Not that many. Right. Even if you make a wrong choice initially, who's not afraid to correct that choice almost immediately. Right. So I have a hard time looking outside of my sphere because it's my sphere. But even if I was to broaden myself, I would pick people who remind me of Kendrick probably. Right. But no bias, no bullshit, no ass kissing. Kendrick is definitely my role model. I will say that honestly. Yeah.
God, it reminds me of Elon Musk. All right, Kendrick, who's yours?
I don't know that I have any one in particular. I like to draw, qualities that I like from multiple different sources, I like what this guy's doing with this. I'm going to maybe adopt that idea. Or I like what this guy's doing with that. So I'm going to take this idea and I'm going to take this idea and I'm going to combine them into my own philosophy or idea.
So I look up to business leaders who understand the importance of the team of people that they have doing all of the stuff for them.
Yeah.
And understanding the ones that understand the ecosystem, the people system that's in place there, not just the business structure, not just the LLC, not just whose name is on what piece of paper, not just what the business plan is, not just what products you're going to carry, but the ecosystem in which all of that lives. And that ecosystem is a human ecosystem. And that's one thing that I love so much about the cigar industry is it's a very human industry. Everything about it is about people. And so I don't know that I can name any particular names other than like people that I know in the industry that I really look up to. I really look up to Hochi Blanco, who runs the factory where our stuff is made. He does a phenomenal job of making everyone involved and feel important, and everybody knows that they have an important thing to do, and he trusts them to bring their own piece of themselves into that. And so that's the kind of environment that I like to work in.
Okay. All right.
And so I just take that and I, okay, well, what environment can I create? And you know, so I've got just learn things from everybody. I you know, whether it's they're business people or not, there are things that you can learn about business from non-business people too, because it's all you know, a business is just an organization of people that have a common idea or goal. And so a lot of the philosophies that you can pull from other disciplines translate to like working in a business environment.
So you see how you just validated my answer there?
Totally. Absolutely. Call that out. Well, since you asked me, there's four people that I look up to. There's four people that if we could put them all together, they'd be like absolutely amazing. And this is in no particular order, but Elon, because I already named him, but Elon, that guy is amazing. I just read his biography from Walter Isaacson. Great book. But you got Elon, Rush Limbaugh, Joe Rogan, and Novak Djokovic. Those four guys, amazing. And because I should also put in a female there, Katie Ledecky, who is smoking everybody in the swimming pool. She's absolutely, she crushes it with no apology. And yet she's the nicest person. But anyway, kind of to both of your guys' point, you know, you kind of draw things from these people, right, that you like want to emulate and kind of you admire just their energy, their effort, and their resolve to be who they are. And I think that's what I like about you guys. I really like your story. I like your authenticity. I think that goes through the Apostate brand, which is why I like it so much. So kudos to you guys. There's my diplomatic answer. But you guys truly have a great brand, and I really appreciate what you've done with your cigar line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last question, because we got to leave people, you know, wanting more. And I think, Kendrick, you might have alluded to it, but what's the next cigar coming from Apostate? What can people look forward to? What do you got in the hopper that Hochi's making?
It's mostly gone now, but I've been smoking through the seventh cigar on our lineup that's going to be released here in about a month. This is called Moroni's Trumpet. It's going to have this black secondary band on it, just like that. And it's got a San Andreas Oscuro wrapper on it. We use a Dominican Allure binder, and filler in here is Connecticut broadleaf. We've got Dominican leaves in here in the filler. Man, it's tasty. I'm so excited to get this out on the market.
What's the profile? Medium, medium, full?
Medium, full. I would say like maybe 7 out of 10 on the strength scale, but it's okay. Full-bodied. It's rich.
It's chocolatey. Really rich. Yeah.
It's chocolatey, spicy. Ooh. It's just a flavor bomb.
Yeah, it's complex. Changes mm-hmm. up a little on you. Yeah, that one's exciting. And then you're complex,
Brandon.
Thanks. I'm not really. pretty simple guy. The eighth blend we're actually releasing at the same time. So there's going to be another cigar coming. We're releasing two next month. The last one's called the Endowment, and that one's got the Connecticut Desflorado wrapper on it. And then we've got Connecticut Broadleaf Binder on there. We've got PA Broadleaf in the filler, San Andres in the filler, DR in the filler, which sounds like a lot on paper, but when you smoke that thing, it is so smooth and so balanced, and it's a very decadent cigar. The smoke is thick and creamy and coats your palate. It's a Toro size.
Okay.
It's fantastic. So both of those we'll be shipping next month to retailers. And then as far as what's next, we're going back down in November. We're going back to the factory in November. Okay. We're going to mess around a little bit and see what we can do creative, because that's our core eight blends right there, right? So with the core line done, it's time to get a little weird with it. So we're going to see how we can do that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm assuming the Chapels are going to get those. John, come on.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's already on the list. Yeah, we're good.
All right. Perfect. Awesome. Well, one last time again for Between Two Humidor listeners in the month of August, mention Between Two Humidors, you're going to get 20% off your sticks here at the Chapel in Bend, Oregon. So thank you guys for your cigar line. It's been really great and really been fun getting to know you guys, and keep growing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Man. Yeah, thank you, and thanks to John over there at the Chapel. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, it's been great.
Awesome. All right, well, we'll let it sit there, and I'll cut the recording there, but we're going to just kind of keep it rolling. What'd you guys think?
That was good, man. Good job. Great show.
Great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Like I said, so many people here at the Chapel are looking forward to this particular interview with you guys. I've done a couple others with some cigar owners, with Juan Lugo, with Don Dorteo, and Jeremy at Wildfire. So I'm going to kind of keep it going. And you know, everybody that I've met in the cigar world, you know, everybody is like, listen, our cigars are the best, but we do like, you know, just the cigar world. And you know, listen, everybody needs sales and growth, but at the same time, the community itself is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty inclusive space for the most part. Yeah,
absolutely. Cool. All right, guys. Well, Brandon, continued success to you in Minneapolis.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome. Kendrick, thank you so much. Glad you could join us there in Salt Lake. Keep playing some great music. Awesome. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. See you later. Thanks, Jonathan.
All right. Take care, guys.
Peace. See you.